It's Friday, folks, and it is time for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. It's July 17th, and I'm your host, Tyler Thompson. Coming up tonight, subsistence fishing for Chinook salmon closes tomorrow in the Chignecks starting at 12:01 a.m., along with other restrictions. Area management biologist Ross Rennick calls in to talk about the closure.
Compared to last year, for the same date, we were at 1,059 Chinook salmon through the weir, but compared to 19, we're about half of what we were at.
We talked to Andy Wink about fish pricing amid a global pandemic. The market is not looking as bad as it may seem.
Price times volume, I would expect this to be a pretty good year for Bristol Bay. However, the COVID situation is obviously an X factor.
We also talked to fishermen in the Chignecks about the frustrations with the season so far. Those conversations and more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Alrighty, let's get down to the numbers. Baywide daily harvest yesterday came in at 1.4 million. The cumulative catch is up to 32 million fish. Total baywide escapement is 16.4 million fish. The total run in Bristol Bay is 800,000 shy of 50 million fish, sitting at 49.2 million. Let's take a look at the west side. The Nooshogak District's daily catch was at 225,000, bringing the cumulative catch over the 8 million mark. Yesterday's harvest attributed 3% to Agushik set netters, 26% to Nugashik set netters, and 69% to the drift fleet. District-wide escapement was 102,000 fish in the Nooshogak District for a total district escapement of 3.7 million fish. Breaking that down by river, the Nooshogak sonar crew saw 12,000 sockeye pass yesterday. Cumulative harvest sockeye escapement in the Nooshogak River is 1.1 million fish. The crew counted 1,000 kings yesterday. Total escapement is 41,000. They also saw 580 chum. That escapement is now up to 108,000. In the Wood River, the counting tower spotted 12,000 fish before 6 a.m. this morning. Total escapement in the river resides at 2 million as of yesterday. The counting tower at the Agushik River saw 5,000 fish pass through before 6 a.m. this morning. Total escapement in the Agushik is set at 210,000 fish. Over in the Togiak District, fishermen caught 8,000 fish, bringing the total catch to 153,000. The Togiak counting crew counted 700 fish before 6 a.m. this morning. Escapement is now at 43,000 fish. Jumping over to the east side, the Naknek Kwijak back at it again with the largest daily harvest of 577,000 fish yesterday. That came 8% from Kwijak set netters, 12% from Naknek set netters, and 80% from the drift fleet. Total harvest in the Naknek Kwijak is still the bay's largest this season at 11.7 million fish. Across the Naknek Kwijak District, yesterday's daily escapement was 395,000 fish, bringing the season escapement in the district to 9.7 million. Let's take a look at that escapement by river. The Alagnak River came in at 134,000 yesterday, bumping total escapement to just over 2 million. In the Kwijak River, yesterday's escapement was up at 187,000 fish. Total escapement in the Kwijak River is 3.7 million fish. The Kwijak also has a 250,000 fish in-river estimate. And in the Naknek River, 73,000 fish escaped yesterday. That makes the Naknek's escapement for the season 3.9 million fish so far. In total, the run in the Naknek Kwijak district is 21.6 million fish. In Igigik, harvest was 447,000 fish yesterday, making the cumulative harvest in Igigik 10.7 million. Yesterday's catch came from 86% from the drift fleet and 14% from the set netters. Igigik's daily escapement was 88,000 fish yesterday, pushing escapement in the district to 2.2 million. In total, Igigik's run is approaching 13 million at 12.9 million fish. In the Ugashik District, daily harvest yesterday was down to 191,000 fish, attributed 27% to the set netters and 73% to the drift fleet. Total harvest in the Ugashik District is 1.3 million fish. Total Ugashik escapement is just over 1 million fish. Daily escapement was 123,000. There is also a 325,000 fish in river estimate. the same as Wednesday's. Altogether, the total Ugashic run is 2.7 million fish so far this season. The Chignik River crew counted through 567 king salmon as of yesterday. Escapement for king salmon in the Chignik River is unlikely to meet its lower range of 1,300 fish. Federal and state fishing subsistence fishing will be closed in the Chignik River through July 18th until August 9th at 11:59 p.m. due to the low king escapement. Sport fishing targeted at kings will also be closed starting tomorrow. Also, kings longer than 28 inches may not be retained in the Chignik district starting tomorrow as well. For more context on these closures, we caught up with ADF&G Area Management Biologist Ross Rennick to provide some further context to the impending closures.
So our king numbers are below average right now for king escapement. Typically about this time of year, we're about 54% of the way through our escapement. And as of right now, as of last night, we had 567 Chinook salmon through the weir, and our five-year average for Chinook is 821 fish through the weir as of July 16th. Right now, we're sitting at 567, which is well below the average. And another additional factor to that average is typically we have commercial fishing going on where harvest is occurring on king salmon in the lagoon here in Chignik. And we have not had any commercial fishing occurring in June or July this year, and we're still not meeting minimum desired weir counts, hence the closures to the state and state subsistence and the federal fisheries in the area.
What was it like last year at this time? Could you provide any context on that?
Compared to last year, for the same date, we were at 1,059 salmon, or Chinook salmon, through the weir. So we're almost half of that this year. We are a little bit better in 2018, where we had a very poor Chinook return as well. But compared to 19, we're about half of what we were.
And those closures, do they go in effect tomorrow?
They do. They go in effect tomorrow morning.
And then, yeah, that'll go through August 9th. Then the other part, there's limitations on, as far as like the size of the salmon, correct? The 28 inches in length?
Yeah, so we still are allowing subsistence fishing on other targeted species out in the lagoon and in the Chignik Bay district. We just want to protect the mature king salmon that are returning. So anything under 28 inches in length can still be retained in the subsistence fishery. We do have a lot of other salmon populations, feeder Chinook and whatnot, that are caught out here. And so we still want to let people retain those. We're trying to really protect the mature returning Chinook to Chignik.
And this might be a loaded question, and there may not be a direct answer for it, but is there any reason why the escapement is so low this year?
No, I mean, we've seen this in the last 3 years in Chignik, especially our early returning fish. This year in particular, it seems like a majority of the Gulf of Alaska is doing very poorly with most of their salmon returns, and Chignik's falling in line with those as of right now. To answer that question, we're really, really not sure as of right now as to why Chignik's doing so poorly. It's been pretty status quo out here in terms of poor return in the last interview. Still not seeing a lot of sockeye escapement. We still have not had any commercial fisheries going on in Chignik, and we're now not meeting our late run escapement as well as our early run escapement.
Thank you for calling in today. Yep. Talk about the closure.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
A reminder that those closures and restrictions go into effect tomorrow at 12:01 a.m. We will be right back.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from GCI, offering connectivity to communities around the state with the latest smartphones and internet packages. A full list of services and store locations at gci.com.
Now with some news, a staff member of the Chimay Community Health Center in Naknek has tested positive for COVID-19. Chimay announced the case today. The clinic says the person is not a resident of the Bristol Bay Borough and is currently in isolation. Chimay said that the person tested positive during the clinic's weekly testing of staff members as part of its COVID-19 mitigation plan. Contact tracing is underway, and some additional staff of the Chimay Clinic are in quarantine out of an abundance of caution. Clinic Director Mary Swain said the clinic has identified two community members who might be close contacts of the infected staff member, depending on the nature of their visits to the clinic. Those two community members have been notified of the contact. This case is the only positive case of COVID-19 currently in Bristol Bay Borough. The Chamai Clinic has extended the opportunity for anyone who visited the clinic between July 14 and July 16 to be tested for COVID-19. Walk-up testing is available Monday through Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. You can also call the clinic at 907-246-6155. KDLG's Sage Smiley spoke with Chignik residents and fishermen Eileen Ashby, Wallace Hinderer, and Ben and Rachel Allen about the future of the run and living in the city of Chignik. We will air other parts of that conversation in the next 2 weeks. Here is what Eileen Ashby and Ben and Rachel Allen had to say about yesterday's announcement, closing subsistence fishing of Chinook salmon. You'll hear Eileen, then Ben, and then Rachel.
We are very, very concerned about our fishery and the future fish that, you know, holds our community. The fish really do benefit our area. And if we don't have the fish, we are losing out. I mean, our city, our city is in bad, bad jeopardy.
The locals in the area aren't even going out and collecting fish for subsistence because they're concerned with stuff that hasn't even been shut yet that needs to be, which is our sockeye. We're way under-escaped in our river system. And, you know, the department is cautiously allowing it to stay open because there's very minor amounts of people going out and trying to get subsistence. And part of that has to do with all of us are not willing to sacrifice our run for something to eat today. You know, we get the elders taken care of and the people that are in dire need of it just to the bare minimum level. There's no excess that's happening here. And I think that something definitely needs to be drastically changed.
Our Chinook are definitely struggling, and I think it's a really good thing that we're being protective. I remember ever since I was a kid, it's a beautiful run, and it's just not coming back right now. I think there is a need for curbing the subsistence for sockeye as well, but at the same time, there's such a need for the sockeye right now because nobody's making income. I wouldn't wish it to be shut down, but it would certainly help our future return to be getting all the escapement that we need. We are so under-escaped right now for sockeye. I can't even imagine how bad our future runs are going to be now.
We'll have more on the city of Chignik and the Chignik run in the coming weeks. As the season winds down, prices are still in the shadows. KDLG's Izzy Ross spoke with Andy Wink, Executive Director of BBR SDA.
Processors have had to take on additional costs because of safety measures that they're implementing. Fishermen had to do a bunch of additional planning to bring up people safely. I think a big question is what the market's going to do as well. There's a lot of different factors on that side of the equation. There's restaurants have closed or shut down temporarily because of the pandemic, but as I've discussed with other BBR SDA members, there's increased cooking at home. What is BBR SDA looking at in terms of the price this year, and what are you thinking about in terms of marketing?
So I think value-wise, price times volume, I would expect this to be a pretty good year for Bristol Bay. However, the COVID situation is obviously an X factor. Demand for sockeye appears relatively strong, even though the dollar is stronger than last year and farm salmon prices are down. Seafood sales in grocery stores have generally increased this spring, and demand for fresh season products has been pretty good. And, you know, grocery stores are where the majority of our sockeye are sold. So certainly the restaurant sector is taking, you know, a real beating, probably as bad as any other sector aside from airlines. But most of our sockeye are sold in grocery stores and retail. So on the demand side, you know, quality has improved a lot in recent years. And I just can't stress how important that is. And I think we're seeing gains from improved chilling percentages as well as our marketing efforts. Just seeing more demand from that. You know, looking a little bit at data that pertains to demand, wholesale pricing for frozen H&G was down about 10% following the 2019 season, but sales volumes were in good shape. So we had smaller fish last year as well as this year, but those smaller fish from last year's harvest might have impacted the average export price. But even still, the 2019 export price was still better than prices we saw previous to 2018. So historically, it looked pretty good. The wholesale revenue from 2019 Bristol Bay sockeye sales was close to 2018. And so it seems like demand is in, I'd say, decent to good shape, all things considered. On the supply side, you know, there's really not many sockeye being caught outside of Bristol Bay this year. And we hear the harvest is probably going to be down in Russia, and Canadian production really won't be much of a factor. So globally, supply will probably be tighter this year. Inventories on the supply side are always something that can impact fishery value. And there may have been some inventory coming into the year, but, you know, when we look at the export volume and when we look at other sales data, it was kind of in line with the prior year. So, in fact, it was, you know, it was a little bit above the prior year, just like the harvest volume is a little bit above. So I don't see preseason inventory as being a broad concern that would impact this year's value. So, yeah, there's definitely rumors about drastically lower ex-vessel prices, and we've seen some much lower sockeye prices posted in the Bay, and we've seen lower sockeye prices posted in other fishing regions. There's definitely been higher costs this year for both fishermen and processors due to COVID, but I think it's hard to expect that they would affect ex-vessel price in a really huge or drastic way. Plus, it's possible that we might see processors or fishermen get government funding to offset some of those costs. We'll have to see how that develops. In terms of pricing, you know, another possibility is that processors are losing large sums of money in other areas where the runs aren't so good, and there might be a need to offset those losses. You know, that's something that I think only people familiar with those books would really know. But, you know, regardless, I'd say looking at the information that we have, the supply and demand picture appears pretty decent for Bristol Bay sockeye, but this has been an extraordinary year, both in terms of COVID and poor harvest elsewhere. And I just think that wherever prices end up, it's really important for processors to provide a justification for prices this year and to help fishermen understand why things are the way that they are.
Many people listening right now are winding down their seasons and planning their journeys home. Wink had a few safety reminders and announcements from BBRSDA.
I've got some announcements that I'd like to make here on the radio. And the first one is, I think it's been mentioned a few times, but I just want to make everyone aware that we have a photo contest going on that'll still run for a few more months into the fall. But we'd really like to get great photos from lots of people. That highlight the fishery, highlight the people and the quality and the setting. It's always really helpful in our marketing efforts to have that. On our website, bbrsda.com, at the top, there's a photo contest link where people can submit that. Also on our website, which is new, if you go to the For the Fleet option, we have a merchandise store. You know, we've got a great brand, and we really want that to be something that people in the fishery and the region are proud of. And so we had some hats, hoodies, and T-shirts made up, and we'll be adding beanies to that. You know, we're selling them through this online merchandise store. People can order them online there. We understand that fishermen are supporting BBRSDA, but we just felt like it was more fiscally responsible to essentially sell those items through the store at cost rather than subsidize it by giving it away so we can have more funding for things that affect fishery value, right? We really do think it'll be a great way to kind of show pride in the fishery and unity, especially coming off this really crazy season. As we go into the fall, you know, we're always looking at what our budget is going to be directed towards in the next year. And so people, I'm sure, have thought of different ways to improve the fishery. And we'd like to hear from you. If you have ideas for projects, we'd love to see those submitted. Again, on our website, bbrsda.com, there's a tab at the top for projects. There's some proposal instructions there, and we're actually probably going to add a template to make it even easier and more uniform for people to submit project proposals. But, you know, anytime we can improve this fishery and improve the value, we want to hear people's ideas. I'd encourage people to think about submitting a proposal. And then kind of the final, you know, general announcement I would have is just related to COVID. You know, things have gone really well this year. We haven't seen things spreading within the industry or the community. And I would just encourage everybody to finish up strong and safe, and, you know, make sure to mask up when you're around other people in town, try to socially distance, sanitize your hands, and to also be careful home outside the bay, cases are picking up in Alaska and the lower 48. The last thing we want to do is see anybody get sick, but particularly people in Bristol Bay or fishermen's families. Try to stay vigilant for a little bit longer. We're almost done with the season, and we want to finish up strong.
Support for KDLG's fisheries coverage comes from OBI Seafoods, proud to partner with the fishermen and communities of Bristol Bay.
And that's going to just about do it for us tonight. But before we go, let's do the marine weather forecast and a little bit of the messages to the fleet. Currently, or tonight, in the Bristol Bay, the marine weather forecast says west winds at 10 knots, seas at 2 feet with patchy fog. Tomorrow for Saturday, variable wind less than 10 knots, seas at 1 foot with patchy fog. From Port Hyde into Cape Sarachef, tonight a variable wind, 10 knots, seas at 2 feet with patchy fog. And for Saturday and Saturday night, variable winds, 10 knots, seas at 2 feet with patchy fog. And now with our messages to the fleet, to Captain Mike and the crew on the Bonnie B. Hope your season wrapped up with fish to the gunnels and stories to share. Hope your return travels go well. That's from A. Charleston, S.C. Mariner. Or no, that's from Bonnie B. or somebody. A Charleston, S.C. Mariner. William, we miss you so much. It's a hot and humid Louisiana July down here, so we wish we could come swimming in Bristol Bay right about now. We hope the fish are swimming real good and that you're collecting some good stories to tell us. Come on down to Chabille's soon, you hear? We love you and go Tigers. From Mom, Dad, Camille, John, and Harley. That's all, folks. Happy fishing. Stay safe out there. We'll have our regular numbers report coming up this weekend.